Good evening, James McCanny here with my Science Hour. It is September 5th, 2013, and what a show I have for you tonight. This is unbelievable what is going on. I will be talking about information I received that on November 14th, there will be a planned international power outage. Oddly enough, as I actually announced long ago, I'm expecting a false flag power outage. And the Homeland Security, many senators, and other people in high government positions are saying that there is 100% certainty of a natural event, large-scale power outage in our near future. I will be discussing this very complex topic on tonight's show. There are so many factors. The situation is as follows. The Comet Ison-Mercury encounter is on November 14th. So isn't it odd that they have this international power outage scenario simulation, I might add, on exactly that day? Now, I want to stress that I have been saying that there will be a false flag power outage due to solar flare. I started smelling this ages ago when NASA began announcing and pushing very hard that there could be a grid outage due to solar flaring. Well, we're in the peak of the current solar cycle when there should be the most active sun activity, and we are at the lowest ebb of solar activity in hundreds of years. Now, add to this the fact that Comet Ison is coming in close to the sun, and NASA is saying that through their Minion Tier 3 outreach people, that there's no way that comets can affect the sun. But this gets real complicated because the misinformation is flowing out there. Also, I want to start this whole conversation by saying, do not go to YouTube. I have had so many conversations with people out there, just regular people, and they're going, oh, I saw this wonderful YouTube video, and it said Comet Ison is wormwood, or Comet Ison will cause the end of the world, or Comet Ison will cause, you know, this and that. And the real situation is that I'll be talking about that. But there is so much misinformation on YouTube, I just can't even repeat it all, and it's all so absurd. There has been postings of me on YouTube. I don't put them there. They're my image, and actually this was lifted out of a video I did in probably 2005, was used on a government video, a NASA alert, if you can imagine that. My image was used promoting the idea that comets are not dirty snowballs and that they can affect the sun. Isn't that an odd coincidence? But anyway, and that's true. But the other issue is you have to take it with a grain of salt. You have to understand what's going on, and you have to understand, too, that even if there is solar flaring, very small chance of one directly hitting Earth. 360-degree, three-dimensional space is a big area. And now let's look at something else. A couple weeks ago, about a month ago now, a group of people, men who are on a panel, a CME damage panel that gives information to the government, came out with a statement saying there was a few weeks ago, prior to that, a near kill shot type of solar flare that barely missed Earth that would have caused massive damage. In looking at that and trying to find that, I found no evidence whatsoever for any kind of CME or solar flare that missed Earth. Oddly enough, spaceweather.com, which has been pumping overzealously auroras and other activity to try and make it sound like the sun is really whooping it up out there, they came out and said there was no such flare. And I thought that was real interesting because they're kind of a bought and paid for mouthpiece for the people that are putting together this entire false flag solar flare power outage scenario. So the signals out here are so mixed and varied, the poor person on the street is just at a loss. And that's why a lot of people listen to this radio show, because they want to get a fair and unbiased opinion of what's going on out there. And a lot of people trust my opinion. So in a nutshell, I'll be watching Comet Ison as it moves in towards the sun, looking for solar flaring, and I'll be reporting on that. And now with the stereo system that's in place, the twin satellite system, it's very easy to tell what direction solar flares are moving, or a big part of a CME. A CME is where the entire surface of the sun basically is exploded. It explodes off in all directions, but in most of those cases, that is also directed. Once it gets out away from the sun, the flaring part, the part that would affect a planet or move out into the solar system, is very directed. Three-dimensional space is very big, and the solar flares have a low probability of hitting, but if it's got your name on it, if it's got Earth's name on it, and it's coming our way, then that's the way it's going to be. But there are two factors here. The sun is at a very, very low ebb in energy. So will it affect this? That's something I will continue to report on. Also, the Comet Ison interaction with Mercury, we will have a bird's eye view of that in the morning sky. That will be around November 14th. On November 10th, about, that's when the Comet Ison interaction could begin with the planet Mercury. That'll be in the morning sky. We will have a beautiful moonless early morning sky, so that's something you want to put on your calendar. I will also be talking again in this show about the mid to late September, early October Comet Ison interaction with Mars. We may have a little bit of moon interference with that observation, but something I will keep track and viewing conditions. But recently, I also want to mention that I went out and did some Comet Ison observations myself this morning. And Comet Ison is not a big whopping comet. Little comets can cause real effects. And I've talked before about the January 15th electrical alignment, where we have Jupiter, Comet Ison, Earth, our new moon, and Venus, all across solar system electrical alignment, which could bring in some sulfur dioxide from the region around Jupiter if Earth connects to the trade's tails, so to speak, with the Comet Ison. And so that's somewhat of a remote issue, but I believe we're going to have some serious severe weather around the January 15th time frame because of that electrical alignment. It's just Jupiter is a big connection. You add in the comet, then the new moon and the new moon passing, and then the Venus out in front of us. Wow, that's a many, many electrical connection factors all added together. So I believe we're going to have some real conditions at that time frame. Okay, so I will be talking about all that on this show, but the most important thing I want to discuss on this show is the November 14th planned power outage. And so anyway, I'm going to read a communication that came to me about the reporting that's coming out of Washington, other government agencies, regarding a potential EMP, as it's called, electromagnetic pulse. It could be due to solar conditions, or it could be man-made. But like I said before, if somebody's exploding nuclear bombs over our country, EMP for the electric grid is probably the least of your worries. But anyway, the feedback I'm getting, or the undercurrents that I'm seeing here, is that the EMP will be caused by a natural event. So here goes, here's some comments. This is from Congressman Trent Franks of Arizona, senior member, House Armed Service Committee. He says, we are only one act of madness away from social cataclysm unlike anything our country has ever known. And I think that's an interesting comment, given that they're trying to attack Syria now, or the whole Syria conflict is blowing up in the Mideast. And for retaliation, nobody ever talks about the retaliation that could come to this country. The world is upside down in a giant mess. So could these terrorist groups cause EMPs that would cause a vast power outage in the United States? And really the answer is no. The foreign entities do not have the capability of causing vast power outage, maybe in a small localized area. Maybe they would have access to some like suitcase nukes that have been lost over the years from both the U.S. and Russia. But to cause wide scale, no. You're talking natural events, Mother Nature, so to speak. Or here's the thing that I keep saying. Let's take another example, a great example, the Fukushima power outage and nuclear disaster in Japan. The so-called tsunami that allegedly caused that, and the earthquake was only about a 5. It was not a major earthquake. When the tsunami hit, which was a man-made tsunami, by the way, with nuclear explosions off in the northeast corridor, off of the northeast corner of Japan, the earthquake was not sufficient to cause that tsunami, and it was not sufficient to cause damage. When the waves came in Japan, and you saw all of the videos captured by security cameras, etc., everybody was still in their office, everybody was working, there was no panic, there was nothing going on, there were not cars driving around crazily because of a giant earthquake. No, everybody was sitting there normally. The waves came rolling in, and then there were explosions at the Fukushima site. And it's clearly that was a man-made event, but blamed on Mother Nature. And that's what we're dealing with here, and that's what I've been saying all along, that even Comet Ison coming in close to the sun, we could see some solar flaring. It could be crippling, but that's something we'll have to wait and see at the time. But I'm expecting that they will use a solar flare that is like the 5 on the Richter scale earthquake in Japan was not enough to cause the damage that was reported there, but it's been used and referenced, and that is the cover story. That's what I'm expecting coming up sometime in November. So at any rate, as I said, terrorist groups do not have the power to make large-scale power outages. That's simply, they don't have the wherewithal to do that. And even a country like Korea that might have a couple nukes they could throw our way, it's still not going to cause major wide-scale outages across the entire country and across Mexico, Canada, for example. The only thing that's going to cause that is major nuclear war or a solar flare like the Carrington event, which at this time is probably the lowest probable event in the last 200 years because of the very low condition of the sun, the very low energy state of the sun, even though we are in a solar maximum. And I've seen on videos where people are going, we're in the solar maximum. It could be maximum amount of solar flaring that could affect us. It's simply not true. The statistics, the history do not show it, which is a very interesting comment that I have to make. Weeks ago, when the small comet came in and basically hit the sun, it caused a large CME. It's very obvious that it was the comet that caused the CME. NASA's little Tier 3 outreach people are just trying their hardest to say that that's just coincidence, and all the other ones we've seen are just coincidence. And don't look at that comet there. It has nothing to do. They say there's no theoretical explanation for why a comet should affect the sun. And, of course, they're sleeping. I'm sure they're all in beddy-by when I'm on Coast to Coast or I'm on other shows. But, you know, there's no way. You'd have to be an absolute, complete idiot moron with your head in the sand or somewhere else to not know about my work. Especially if you're in the area of comets. So, of course, they know about my work, but they're just trying to very, very heavily backpedaling, trying to make it look like comets could not possibly cause a solar flare. Because that's the whole issue with comets is they don't want the public to understand the power of comets, what comets can really do. And the reason for that is because if the world population woke up one day and understood that comets are not little dirty snowballs that are harmless and little foofy things, then they would realize that there could be big ones and that it could affect their future. And most of all, those guys over there, the European bankers and all the little middle management people like Obama or the Bushes or the Clintons or in Europe and other places, other people, the world would wake up and realize that those guys don't have any power over the real things in your life, and they would lose power. They would lose the worship that has the money God has put on the world's population, and people would turn to self-sustaining lifestyles, and they don't want that. They don't like that at all. They want everybody, down to the last squirrel, honoring them in their money god. Okay, so anyway, I'm going to continue reading some of these quotes. Here's from Dr. Robert Herman, Commissioner, U.S. Congress EMP Commission. This is a commission that was set up by Congress to study electromagnetic pulse and what it could do to the country. It says, Dr. Robert Herman says, EMP is one of the small number of threats that could hold a risk of the continued existence of U.S. civil society. And let's see, here's another one. John Kappenman, Principal Investigator, U.S. Congress EMP Commission. By the way, these are the guys that put out the false information about a solar flare just missing us a number of weeks ago. These are the guys that put out that incorrect information. And he says, just one violent active region on the sun can cause continent-wide, perhaps even planetary-scale impacts to our critical infrastructure. Well, that's true, but it's a very low probability of happening now. Here's a Congresswoman, Yvette Clark, senior member of the House Homeland Security Commission. Here we got Homeland Security chiming in. Says the likelihood of a severe geomagnetic event capable of crippling our electric grid is 100%. Now this is where, okay, now we got Homeland Security, Janet Napoliano or whatever her name is. I don't even care to pronounce it correctly because I can't stand those people. But she also gave a parting speech when she left office. Her departing speech, she said that the United States was 100% sure in the near future of having a natural cataclysm that would, and she's talking about 100% sure, that would take down our electric grid. Now, I have talked long and hard about the fact that they have eyed up the electric grid as the method of bringing in the New World Order. Why is that? That is because everybody, communications, water, sewage, electronics, getting gasoline. Every aspect of your life is run by electricity. Very few people, only the people that live out in a remote area and have gotten themselves off the grid, only those people are going to survive in a manner that they're accustomed to living. And so the grid, and they're out of commission, they're not going anyplace either. They'll just do a little better where they're at, but they don't have ability to go out and do anything or go anyplace. Maybe they got a little gasoline stored up, but that's not going to last long. The electric grid runs everything. So if you want to shut the place down, you take down the electric grid. And I realized that long ago as I watched the government weather bombing areas of the country, coming in with controlled storms. The Sandy event out in the Northeast was a very controlled storm, just to see the effects. And they, by the way, they mentioned that many times in these announcements, that comparing it to the Sandy event where people were left without any government help. So anyway, here is Homeland Security chiming in saying that, and they're talking about a geomagnetic event from the sun. It says the likelihood of severe geomagnetic event capable of crippling our electric grid is 100%. So, baby, get ready, because they're going to do it. And here's the scenario. A flare comes off the sun. It's significant enough for them to claim this is the big one. This is the one that's going to take down the grid. They physically take down the power grid around Canada, U.S., Mexico, other critical parts of the world. And at that point, then the government has to come in and control the distribution of gasoline, of power. They might turn power on in an area for a short amount of time and then bring it back down, allowing the people just to barely exist. And the people will be crying for the government to please do something. And at that point, the New World Order will come in and be a one-world government, because, of course, it's all for the children and for the safety of you. Okay, at the same time, I would expect some terrorism events, some false flag terrorism events, and basically the complete renovation under New World Order of society. And everybody will be so dumbed down at that point. All of these announcements are getting the people ready. You have to understand that. These announcements are public throughout the world. These are being sent to all congressional leaders. Now, I got to talk more about the planned power outage for November 14th. This is an organization that and I don't really know where they got going or how they started. It's called GridX2. Here I'm reading this. It says the disaster drill is being described as a crisis practice unlike anything the real power grid has ever experienced. It's called GridX2, is going to take place November 13th and 14th and focus primarily on how governments will react if electric grid fails and the food chain collapses. Yeah, but mind you that nobody in these scenarios, in these simulated electrical power outage scenarios, nobody is talking about repairing the grid. That's not in the plan. Preparing to replace critical transformers or to have them in stock so they can quickly go out and repair, that is not in their plan. Here's Janet Napolitano, that's how you pronounce the name. Department of Homeland Security successor has said that cyber attack or natural disaster on the U.S. power grid is imminent. In other words, it is going to happen. It's going to happen down there in the hood and every place else. And when it does, this place is going to go ballistic. The United States is never, ever going to be the same. head of Homeland Security, 100% or is imminent. This is going to happen, folks. So I would suggest you prepare. Make sure you have your source of water. You have dried food stored up. I no longer sell dried food. There are many people that do. I have unique water filter products that are gravity feed emergency, simple, effective, and that's what I concentrate on. By the way, I am looking into and may have, just keep tuned to my webpage, I may have in the very near future, within a day or two, I'm still looking into this to see if it's possible, to see there are many factors, but alternative energy equipment, which people can buy and have on hand. Now, that's another thing. If you have, for example, gas, your natural gas, but you wouldn't have electricity to run your furnace, it doesn't take much to run your furnace. So a small alternative energy system at a home would be a huge benefit to allow people to just operate minimally through a power outage. And, of course, in all of this planning, nobody is talking about alternative power. Having power in the home where this energy is generated at the home level, stored at the home level. No, they don't want you to have on a wide scale. In fact, there are many cities which prohibit wind generators in the area because they have to go up higher. They have to go up higher than your house. And they limit that. And now, why would that be? Why would you limit the population from having something up above your house? They don't limit television antennas. You can have that on your house, but in the same place, you can't have a wind generator. Well, why is that? Well, it's clear they don't want the public electrically independent. But in case of emergency, your little mayor or other people are probably not going to be running around your house looking for your electric system plugged in or put on top of your house. And that would be something that would be very important, just to have an electric light that you could, just one light in the house would be better than none. To run the furnace, to run the electric fan on the furnace so that you could have heat. You could shut down many rooms of your house so that you wouldn't have to heat the whole house. There's many things you could do in case of an emergency and use a minimal amount of power if you had it there. So look on my webpage and also make sure you have your water filter supplies, if you have extra filters stored up. Etc. This is coming, folks. This ain't no joke. This ain't a pretend simulation that's going to go away. The simulation is to get you prepared mentally that it's going to be a natural disaster. They're going to use solar flares to say that it was a natural, kind of like God caused it type of thing. And at that point, all these people, you have to understand that senators, the head of Homeland Security, you don't get there without being a new World Order minion. And who are the New World Order? They're the bankers. They're the bankers that control the Federal Reserve, which controls the federal government in the United States. And it's the same all around the world. And they want the United States shut down and brought back to a third world country status. All the immigration that's been going on is part of that to water down the true United States. That's what's going on, and it's hitting ahead here in November. You know, this is just coming. This is coming like the train that's coming on time to the station. This is coming, folks. I want to reiterate the amazing amount of misinformation being put out by the government agencies, and especially through places like YouTube. I also want to tell people, just the bottom line is don't believe anything you see on YouTube. And people say, well, I've seen you on YouTube, Mr. McCanny. Say, yeah, well, I don't put myself there. And if you look at many of the references on YouTube to me are twisting what I have been saying. Okay, so at this point, I am going to go through the list of contradictory information that's being thrown at you around the internet and through these news releases, etc. This is all hovering, centering around the November 13th to 14th planned power outage. Okay, YouTube is just a tremendous false information, tremendous source of incorrect information. There are all kinds of people coming out of the woodwork now with all kinds of crazy things, and in all of it that I've seen tries to mimic my work and try and use bits and pieces. Oh, the comet, the sun is a comet. Let's see, what other things? I mean, and people coming out making claims and then adding all kinds of ridiculous information that Comet Ison is wormwood, what other ones? It just has been absolutely insane. Comet Ison is not wormwood. It's not going to crash into Earth. It does not have a debris field that's going to intersect with Earth. There's just so much misinformation out there on YouTube, including coming from NASA. NASA has been founding it also. NASA has an official group of scientists to cover Comet Ison. This is unprecedented. Unprecedented in that the even Comet Hale-Bopp, NASA just pretended like it didn't even exist. But this one, they are coming out in front and saying, putting up an official group of scientists from Goddard and JPL to interface with the public as these events occur. I mean, this is unprecedented. You have the Naval Observatory. There's a site there that's called the, it deals with suns that are Sungrazer comet page by a guy named Carl Battems, who is just a tier three little know-it-all who's, you know, he read his textbooks and he's repeating them to you. Comets are little snowballs, maybe half a mile across, maybe a couple meters across. I mean, this guy has so much bad information. All he's doing is repeating what he read in his textbook in college. And it does not have anything to do with reality. Anyway, that's there to try and calm the public away from thinking that comets could affect the sun. And, of course, who's the main promoter of the concept that comets affect the sun? Well, I am. Oddly enough, there's a video out that was released by NASA in which they use major news releases from government panel agents, from news reporting, national news reporting, and I appear in it. It's from a video that I made in around 2005. It was an interview at the, I believe it was at the UFO conference, or it might be, I don't know which video it's from. But at any rate, I'm simply saying what I always say, that comets are not dirty snowballs, that they can affect the sun, and a solar flare affected by the sun, let off by the sun, could have devastating effects on Earth. Well, that's true, but let's modify it with the current conditions that the sun is at its weakest state. But they're using my name and image in that clip to promote the idea that there could be a solar outage, a solar flare that could cause a EMP and cause Earth electrical system outage. And that's true. We have to wait and see, and we have to look at each event individually. But as far as prediction, if I were going to make a prediction, I would say right at this point, we are the absolute least likely to have a Earth-based power outage due to a solar flare in the past 200 years. Okay, so at any rate, the misinformation out there is just nuts. The NASA supports many nutcase web pages. Look at the person that, what was her name, Broussard or whatever, Nancy Broussard, I forget the first name, a number of weeks ago, about a month ago, came out and said she was a NASA employee, had information that Planet X was going to destroy Earth, in August. Well, August is come and gone, and Earth is still here, and there was no Planet X. And where is she? She's disappeared off the scenes, not to be heard from again. But what did that do? That negated any NASA employees who ever had a thought of going out and going public from doing it, because now NASA employees that go public about such things are classified as nutcases, and she was. And I picked that out right away. I went on the Joyce Riley show. I went on other shows. I went on many shows and, of course, on my own show, telling people that she's a plant. It was planted misinformation. And what else did she say? She said, oh, it's pushing a big red cloud in front of it, and that it was already affecting the atmosphere of Mars. Well, what did that do? That negated my message that Comet Ison was going to have a close encounter with Mars in the end of September this year and could bring in some sulfur dioxide from Jupiter and cause an atmospheric event on Mars. Big misinformation plant directly from NASA, supported by NASA. Why was it supported by NASA? Because if she were a real employee of NASA, she would have been never allowed to have YouTube videos or other releases that came out. They would have had them off the internet so fast it would make your head spin. So NASA allowed it, therefore they supported it. The pictures she used came from NASA. You don't just take NASA pictures and go out and flip them off to the public and say, here, this is NASA pictures proving that Planet X is here. That was a huge indicator to me that something was coming down the line, preparing the public for the fact that if NASA employees come out and make a statement, don't believe them, because they already cried wolf, and she cried wolf, and the second one, nobody's going to believe. That was the whole purpose of her being allowed to do that. And when she talked, she sounded like she was under mind control. And that's what I would say, is they picked her. And that's what her role was. And who knows where she is now. She's often, I don't know. I'll just say where she is. Nobody knows. The controlled news agencies and news outlets, the evening news, etc. I got a kick out of the guy before me on this news release video on YouTube by NASA. The guy before me goes, we're going to be your comet information station. How do you all of a sudden become an expert on comets just by proclaiming it? Well, they're going to be the outlets. Also, the big owned alternative radio programs are going to be going full bore. They're going to be carrying the message that this was a power outage caused by a solar flare, and that will, in a sense, make it okay for the people to accept the National Guard at your front door, because you're just cooperating with trying to save our nation in a time of natural crisis. You know, this is the message that's going to come down. And if you're against it, if you talk against it, you might be in trouble. But that's what's coming. This is all, what I'm giving here is a laundry list of information prepping the public to basically accept what the government is going to say. And understand what my true message is. I am expecting my image and name to be used more often now because I have such a large following. And the government knows it. They have two possibilities. They can come out and shoot me, or they could misuse my information and, to try and move the public's attention away. My fans would go, oh, there's Jim McCanney. He's saying it too. Well, if you want to know what I'm saying, you go to my webpage, you listen to this radio show, you read my books. That's where you're going to find what I say, not on YouTube, not on some other government website that's a government-supported website. My webpage is the only place where I post, and it's always been that way because I've been subject to just this constant barrage of government BS, that's the only thing you can call it, since the time way back in the early Cornell days. after I started succeeding on my own after that whole event, they really didn't know how to handle me because I was an independent scientist. I never went back. I realized how corrupt the system was. I never looked for government money. I never accepted anything from the government. I don't have any kind of ties with them financially or contractually, and I do my own thing. And I'm, I have to tell you something. When I first started promoting my work to the public, people would say, well, how could you oppose NASA? They have all of their scientists out there, and they're all lined up saying the same thing, and you're saying something different. How can you, NASA is golden. They could never be wrong. Now, after decades of pounding this drum and letting people know and pointing out many other things about NASA and the corruption within that agency and the different tier layers of science and telling people how it really is, I've made a big dent in their side, and they're not as credible as they used to be. In fact, in a lot of cases, they don't have any credibility at all, and that's a problem for the government, who needs a space agency to promote the BS, the Tier 2 science that they're trying to pawn off on the public. NASA's credibility is, in fact, NASA went and attacked its own credibility by letting that woman out talking about Planet X. That's what you call calling down, it's a military term, when you call the jets down to do a bombing on your own location, the enemy is so close and on top of you that your only hope is to bomb your own area. That's the condition NASA is at right now, thanks to my constant pounding on them and pointing out the corruption within that agency, the absolute misinformation that's pawned off on the public. That's the condition of NASA today. They have to call down the firepower on their own location to try and get out of that battle, so to speak. So anyway, I'm having a great success in informing the public. And when I talk, people listen because they can tell. I'm not telling them information because somebody's paying me. I don't have a blog because that's the way I get my money. No, that's because that's the information. That's the way I see it. I've been around the block many times, and many of those times around the block, I got kicked around it. So you learn when you see these things. When I was in California looking for funding for my projects back in the 80s, and I learned how the corrupt investment capital system worked and who controlled it and who owned it and how Congress was influenced to support companies and scientific and engineering projects for the military, yeah, I got an eyeful. And who was running that? The European bankers. That's all of that, and that's why I got a real education. That's why I can talk with authority on these issues. I also saw the inner workings of the corporations out there, the aerospace corporations, and how they're related to NASA and the military. I learned about Tier 1 science. I learned how it works, and I learned that there was the garbage science that they left off there, these university professors, tens of thousands of them that fly around to meetings every year all over the place on what I call scientific vacations. I saw firsthand how they had very poor information, were following dead-end leads on scientific concepts that made no sense at all, but that's where they got their money, so that's what they did. A corrupt system from beginning to end, from top to bottom. But now is the time when all of this is coming to a head, because we're coming to the point where all of this is being used to bring in the New World Order, and that's going to be the end of the United States as we know it. That's going to be the end of the world as we know it. And the military, you know, with a complete power outage, and that's, I'm telling you, it's coming. With that, the military, the police will have free rein to do whatever they want and to control the public, and that's what it's all about. I want to be very specific now about Comet ISON observations. And, okay, coming up in September, just right around the corner here, starting around mid-September and working up to around the 1st of October. 1st of October is when the Comet ISON will be directly above the planet Mars from our point of view. Planet Mars is a red planet. It'll be on the horizon. And Comet ISON right now is working in towards it. It's hard to explain orbits, but around the 15th of September is the first possible time these could connect electrically, where it would actually be noticeable. And chances are you, as a person with a pair of binoculars, is not going to be able to see that. What I'm hoping is around the 1st of October, slightly before that, or slightly after that, you will have the ability to see the comet and Mars interacting through minor binoculars. Comet ISON is not the big major comet that NASA predicted. Let's put it that way. When you look at those original prediction charts for Comet ISON that came out of NASA, it would be near naked eye visible right now. It would be starting this fall, at some point in the fall. Some of those charts indicated somewhere about early November. Some indicated earlier. But after it went around the sun in the predictions, that's when it became 5 times brighter than the full moon. Some people said 20 times brighter than the full moon. But at any rate, as I've instructed people, get a pair of binoculars, find a place where you have a good visibility of the eastern horizon, and start to go out in the latter part of September and see if you can locate Comet ISON. It'll be up above and slightly to the right, sometimes slightly to the left of the planet Mars, but just look in that general area. And you'll just see a fuzzy, small smudge, kind of, in your binoculars. What I would love to see is observations where people see that once this starts to connect electrically with Mars, which has its own long comet tail-like structure, that these two will start to cause a brightening of the comet so that we would actually observe that the comet brightening during that time. And of course, a dirty snowball, there would be no reason to expect any kind of brightening due to an interaction with Mars. And also, all of the data from the Mars landers, the other equipment that's around Mars from NASA is all controlled, so we're not going to really see any major changes. On October 1st, Comet ISON will be a mere 7 million miles away from Mars. And from the way it's looking, Mars will not be enshrouded in the coma. That was my original prediction, that Mars could actually be lost in the coma of Comet ISON, but that does not appear to be the case unless ISON grows by orders of magnitude in size due to an interaction with Mars. But what can happen is, because Comet ISON is coming in behind Mars, there would be electrical interactions. In other words, Mars would have auroras, Mars would have dust storms, Mars would have extreme weather, Mars could connect into the comet tail, drawing in sulfur dioxide, which would just basically come into the atmosphere of Mars. And you know, so you might be able to see those with binoculars, or if people have telescopes, amateur telescopes, taking time-lapse photography. But notice there, too, NASA has an international program to have all of that information sent to them. Isn't that fun? They get to filter all of the photographs, and if need be, maybe go out and if some amateur's got good equipment in taking real pictures, NASA wants to be the funnel point for all of that information, with their team of scientists already in place with none other than my old enemy, Carrie Liss, this guy that works at Goddard. Carrie Liss is the guy who accidentally discovered X-rays in comets, and that's been one of the biggest whitewashed areas of comet theoretical work, because then they started saying, well, it's only due to what they call charge exchange. But charge exchange doesn't work unless you have an electric current initially to get the process going. Isn't that interesting? So where do you get the magical electrical current? Well, in the dirty ice ball, dirty snowball comet model, you don't. But don't talk about fine points, because when NASA publishes articles in the so-called peer-reviewed journals, only their buddies get to review them, not people like me who could raise criticisms and points showing that what they're doing is false, is incorrect, and that I had predicted X-rays in comets, not only in comets, but out to the sunward side of comets in my comet model, and it's a natural result of the plasma discharge comet model, which is the comet model I proposed back in the late 70s as a result of my theoretical work. And, of course, that's one of the core theories dealing with my work. Not only do I deal with comets, I deal with solar system physics and other aspects of how the solar system works, including the fact that comets, yes, do affect the sun when they come near. And they don't always have to be near the sun. That's one of the things that Carl Bathams, with his head in the sand at the Naval Observatory, doesn't seem to, just can't get his little brain around, is that the comets don't have to hit the sun to cause an effect. In fact, they cause it at a distance, action at a distance. And you don't have to have much more than a third grade education to read this information and figure it out. A lot of people out there, a lot of my fans read it, a lot of people know about this, but poor little Carl over there, he's just so busy with his little sun-grazing comet page that he just, doesn't get his head too much above that. And I don't think his little pea brain has enough room for any more complicated information, more than what he learned in his textbooks. But the bottom line is that the NASA is very worried about Comet Ison. For them to form a panel of scientists to filter the information to the public, and I think that if this were a normal period of time, they would never bother to do that. But we're in the time period where we're going to have a false flag solar event that would knock out the power grid. They want their team of so-called experts in place to filter information, any information about those comets. They want to filter them, that information to the public. So that's a very unusual thing for NASA to do, to have a team of experts on a comet, which is really not a major comet at all. So why is that? Well, we're coming into some heavy-duty times here, and NASA needs its team in place to make sure that the Tier 2 science gets pawned off on the public by the top name, what they call their top name scientists. And just as a lot of criticism of NASA scientists coming from me, but the reality is that Carrie Liss is a really good scientist. And I can't believe he is so stupid that he thinks comets are dirty snowballs. Now, in fact, I would consider if there were anybody in Goddard that was available to move up to a Tier 1 science level, it would be him. And so the only thing I can imagine is that he is either being forced to do this or somehow thinks he's helping his country out by putting out false information about Comet Ison and maintaining this dirty snowball comet model. I can't believe he's that stupid. So that's it's hard to say. Maybe he is. Either he's that stupid, or he's in a program where he is certainly not allowed to talk about what he really knows regarding comets. So I'll leave that one out for the jury. But the bottom line is that in 100 years, when the people look back at this era of time, listen to my radio shows, and realize that I'm absolutely 100% correct about comets and what they can do with the sun, etc., that and Carrie Liss is talking about dirty snowballs, he's going to look like an absolute fool. Because here's a trained physicist, he's not an astronomer, he's a physicist, How could he be so stupid as to promote, with all the data that's available to them, how could he promote this dirty snowball concept? But history will read him correctly in 100 years or 50 years or whenever we get out of this baloney that's going on now, and look at him as either a liar or a fool, or both, or an idiot. So take your pick, Carrie. That's how you're going to be viewed in the future. Also, I want to mention, reiterate, the November 10th to 13th, 14th time frame for Comet Ison. You will have a beautiful early morning view of Mercury, which will be close to its maximum greatest elongation at that time in the morning sky. That means it's the farthest away from the sun, almost the farthest away from the sun that Mercury will get. And in the early morning sky, and Comet Ison will be just to its right. By then, Comet Ison should be a very well-developed comet, and it should be something, we should see some brightening of the comet, and Mercury could go comet. Now, people have asked me to please explain this. How can a planet go comet? Well, you start to observe a tail, it starts to develop a tail, just like a comet. And so will Mercury go comet at that point? That's one thing I'm just not sure of. There's a high likelihood of that. We should see some expansion, some excitement of the comet Ison at that point, and some solar flaring, some CME activity. And of course, that's leading up to the false flag solar event that's coming just after that. So anyway, these are exciting times, very strange times. Just want to mention also my new ebook, Water. I think everybody should read that. It's not just about water. It's about who owns and controls water, what's been going on behind the scenes for decades leading up to the ownership worldwide of water and water resources, and who's behind this, who's the main moving and shaking entities. So that's available on my webpage. Also, I want to remind you about my book that came out last spring, preparing for this time, called Comets. It's an ebook. It's available on my website. Just scroll down a little bit and go to the secure web ordering page. Also, I just want to remind you that I might be in the business very soon of selling alternative energy sources that will get you through power outages at your home, something you can quickly put up and generate small amount of power at your home, enough to run your furnace, maybe a light, the basics to get you through a long-term energy outage. Once again, go to the webpage jmccsci.com. That's jmccsci, S as in Sam, C as in Charlie, I as in indigo.com. And all the information is there. And remember, I only post on that webpage, on my radio show, and other bona fide shows where I'm a guest. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.